Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. In this episode, we discuss the career of cool cat James Coburn. I hope you enjoy the show. James Coburn had the amazing ability to raise the kudos of any film he appeared in. He demanded $250,000 to appear in Sergio Leone's A Fistful of Dynamite, also known as Duck, You Sucker, which was a huge fee at the time, but he was aware of his drawing power. The film went on to become Leone's biggest hit in Europe. Coburn was sort of a cross between Lee Marvin and Donald Sutherland, a lanky man with buckets of charisma and a strong voice you listened to. His infectious grin made him a perfect choice for Leone, who mixed dark humour with powerful stories. His gift for comedy meant he made many action films laced with a healthy dose of fun, and I'd like to look at some of those now. Many were not box office successes, but that doesn't mean they were bad films. Let's start off with The President's Analyst, made in 1967. It's a cruelly neglected film and is a tongue-in-cheek look at what kind of life is handed to a psychiatrist chosen to be the president's personal shrink. At first, Coburn is flattered to have been chosen for the job, but then he realises his life has fundamentally changed, and not for the better. There are so many delicious scenes in this film, and Seven Darden as Soviet agent Propotkin steals the show. Coburn had only appeared in a couple of movies before The Magnificent Seven. His first movie was a pretty good one, Ride Lonesome, a well-put-together western starring Randolph Scott and directed by Bud Bertischer. His good friend from college, Peter Vaughan, recommended him for the part of Britt the Knife Thrower in The Magnificent Seven to the director, Peter Sturges. He only had 11 lines of dialogue. However, the success of the film led to him being cast in John Sturges' follow-up film, The Great Escape, and from then on his career was up and running.
Oh.
Bernard Girard's Dead Heat on a Merry-Go-Round in 1966 has him as a released felon with a big score lined up, involving the robbing of an airport bank when the Russian premier is arriving by plane. It's a clever setup and has a nice twist of an ending. It's well-paced and great fun to watch. Then the Flint movies happened. Our Man Flint is a blatant James Bond parody with a remarkably current theme. A group of rogue scientists have managed to control the weather and are demanding that the major powers disarm their armies and destroy their nuclear weapons. Coburn is Derek Flint, suave and lethal, who stops his heart for 2 hours at a time in order to relax. Lee J. Cobb plays his ever-suffering superior officer, and Gila Golan plays the dangerous female working for the scientists. She was apparently found as a child in Krakow railway station during the Second World War, presumably an orphan from the concentration camps. It may be a touch preposterous, but it's a lot of fun. It was a big success at the box office and led to a sequel, In Like Flint, the following year, which was also a box office hit. Jerry Goldsmith gave us another great theme. Blake Edwards is known for his comedies, but he could very capably turn his hand to the odd thriller, witnessed in The Carey Treatment from 1972. It's an adaptation of a Michael Crichton novel. Coburn plays a pathologist, Dr. Carey, newly arrived at a Boston hospital. The chief physician's daughter is admitted one night with a botched abortion, which leads to her death, and everyone is keen to blame one of his doctor friends. He suspects a cover-up linked to the theft of morphine from the hospital and investigates. This is a great little movie and deserves more attention. The pacing, dialogue and casting are top-notch. Pat Hingle and Regis Toomey provide good support to Coburn, as does Jennifer O'Neill. Unfortunately, the studio interfered with the editing and Blake Edwards tried to get his name taken off the film. Nevertheless, it's worth watching as it is. Roy Budd came up with a great score too. In The Internecine Project from 1974, directed by Ken Hughes, Coburn plays an intelligence officer worried about his past. He devises an ingenious plan to eliminate all the people he's been involved with to secure his new job in government. It's all shot in London with a great supporting cast of Harry Andrews, Ian Hendry, Keenan Wynn and Terence Alexander. While in London, Coburn took time out to appear in the photo shoot for the cover of Paul McCartney's Band on the Run sleeve. It's a fascinating plan and it's very engaging watching him tick off the successful pieces. Roy Budd again came up with the goods. Coben played the lead in Sam Peckinpah's only war movie, Cross of Iron, which tells the story of the machinations at the German front line during the Russian campaign in 1943. Coben plays a heroic soldier who is envied by his new superior, played to excellence by Maximilian Schell, whilst the colonel, James Mason, looks on. Maximilian Schell's character, Stransky, has his eyes on getting an Iron Cross, the ultimate medal to gain, and will stoop to fraud to get one. It's intense with some great acting all round. Robert Shaw was due to take the lead role, but stepped back for financial reasons. The finance was provided by a German porn producer, but still ran out, with Peckinpah unable to get more than single takes at the end of the film. David Warner also stars. The 80s was a terrible decade for Coben's health. He suffered from rheumatoid arthritis and was hardly able to work. But after a restructured diet, he came back to acting in the 1990s. He accepted the role of Glenn Whitehouse in Paul Schrader's Affliction, made in 1997. He plays the father of Nick Nolte, a small-town cop investigating a suspicious hunting death. Willem Dafoe and Sissy Spacek also star. It's not a barrel of laughs, but Coburn is at full strength as Schrader delves into the complex relationship between father and son. He won an Oscar for his performance. Apparently, when Schrader was briefing him before the shoot, Coburn said, I quote, "Oh, you mean you want me to really act? I haven't often been asked to, but I can."
I've forgotten more than you ever know about him. You think you know the smile on his lips, the thrill at the touch of his fingertips, but I've forgotten more than you'll ever know about him. You think you'll find a heaven, a bliss, but you can never steal away memories of what used to be. You think he's yours to have and to hold. Someday you'll learn. Yours to have and to hold. Someday you'll learn.
He made The Man from Elysian Fields in 2001, starring with Andy Garcia and Mick Jagger. Garcia is a struggling novelist who takes a part-time job as an escort to pay the bills. He gets involved with the wife of a successful novelist, played by Coburn. It's an ambitious film and not run-of-the-mill, and it's refreshing to see Jagger in a film again with that Turner look from Performance. Coburn's last film is an interesting one, American Gun, made in 2002. Written and directed by Alan Jacobs, it tells the story of a man in pursuit of the history of the gun that killed his daughter. He travels all over America, uncovering many gruesome deaths one by one. It's a grim statement on the attitude of America towards legal possession of firearms, and understandably wasn't recognized at all. Coburn carries the film, and it's an interesting and an absorbing watch with a surprise ending. critic David Thompson aptly described him as, I quote, "Coburn is a modern rarity, an actor who projects lazy, humorous sexuality. He has made a variety of flawed, pleasurable films, the merits of which invariably depend on his laconic presence. Increasingly, he was the best thing in his movies, smiling privately, seeming to suggest that he was in contact with some profound source of amusement." James Coburn died of a heart attack in his wife's arms in 2002. They were listening to music together. I'll leave the last word to Paul Schrader, who directed him in Affliction. He was of the 50s generation. He had that part hipster, part cool cat aura about him. He was one of those kind of men who were formed by the Rat Pack kind of style.
Let's take it nice and easy. It's gonna be so easy for us to fall in love. Hey, baby, what's your hurry? Relax and don't you worry. We're gonna fall in love. We're on the road to romance, that's safe to say. But let's make all the stops along the way. The problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime. 'Cause nice and easy does it every time. Stops along the way. The problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime. 'Cause nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it every time. Like the man says one more time. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy.